This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abam, welcome everyone to Koilel Agra Depirka, Parshas Koirach. So for those who have been following the Shiurim, this is a Parshas Koirach Shiur, which is one of my favorites. One of the classic Parshas Koirach Shiurim. And I find myself coming back to it, especially because Rosh Chodesh very often falls out the week of Parshas Koirach, and more often than not, it falls out on Monday. So this is a perfect Koirach Rosh Chodesh year. You can't really get much better. And that is the Gemara's comments on the Pasuk in the beginning of the Parsha. Vayakumu lifnei Moshe v'anoshim ibnei Yisrael chamishim v'masayim nesiei eda kriyei moyed anshei shem. So they got up before Moshe, and the men from the Bnei Yisrael, 250. And what were these 250 people? Nesiei eda. They were nesiim. Kriyei moyed anshei shem. So the Gemara darshins vayakumu lifnei Moshe v'anoshim ibnei Yisrael, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin daf kuf yud, chamishim u'masayim miyuchadim shebe'eda. These were the most designated of the congregation. Kriyei moyed refers to shahayu yoidim la'aber shanim v'lekvaya kachadoshim. They knew how to intercalate the years and establish the months. Anshei shem, men of renown. Shahaya lohem shem b'chol ha'olam, their name was recognized in the whole world. And so what's interesting is that the Gemara is telling us and describing the caliber of person that Koirach chose. What kind of guys did Koirach get to his cause? Firstly, miyuchadim shebe'eda. So that I understand. Koirach wanted his rebellion to seem as real as possible, as genuine as possible, bolstered by substantial people, not just Bali Machlokes. So he got the choicest of people. I understand why he got Anshei Shem, famous people, because he wanted to give himself as much credibility as possible. But why, of all things, did Koirach gather people who knew how to intercalate the months and the years? I mean, I understand why Koirach would have wanted to get Talmidei Chachamim. That would certainly offer him and lend him more credibility. But that they should have this particular expertise of intercalating the month and the year, it seems like somewhat of an odd requirement of Koirach in terms of who he selected to join his rebellion. In other words, you know, the Chazal don't say he got people who knew how to paskin on a pitim of an esreg, or he got people who knew how to paskin whether you make a hadama on cornflakes or a shahakal. I remember I once visited Rabbi Yashiv, Zechasak Lavracha, and we followed him home, and standing at his door, I remember there were three guys. One of them had parshios of tefillin. One of them was holding cornflakes to know what bracha to make, and one of them had a map of for nida. But so there are many, many different areas of expertise that a Talmid Chacham has to be familiar with. Why, of all things, did Koirach want to dafka get those people who knew how to be ma'aber, the chadashim and the shanim? Now, the pasuk says like this. Vayidaber el Koirach v'al kol adosai le'mayer boiker. Boiker. Do you hear me on the phone? Boiker. Moshe Rabbeinu says, in the morning, God will make known what is His. In other words, Moshe is saying that, you know, we can't deal with this today. We're going to figure this out in the morning. But what exactly was Moshe getting at? We're gonna figure this out in the morning. What exactly is gonna happen in the morning that Moshe was waiting until the morning? So Rashi says in Midrasha, Boiker, Amar Elohim Moshe. Moshe said, Gvula is chalak HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'ilamai. God made boundaries in this world. Yecholim atem lapoich boiker la'erev. Can you flip morning to evening? Can anyone change morning to night? If you could, whoever could nullify, change the morning tonight, could be mevatel the appointment of Aaron HaKohen. Shenemar vayera vayi voiker vayavdel. Just like God separated between night and day, kach vayavdel Aaron Lakdisha, so too Aaron was separated. So Moshe Rabbeinu says there are boundaries in this world. There are borders in this world. The same way you cannot argue on night and day, you cannot argue on Aaron's appointment. The question is, why is Moshe Rabbeinu using the analogy of night and day? If you can make night and today, if you could change one to the other, then you could argue on Aaron. I mean, what, night and day is the only constant in creation that Moshe Rabbeinu could summon and marshal as a proof? The same way you can't change night and day, you can't change the appointment of Aaron. Why did Moshe say, you know, remember Sir Isaac Newton? He was snoozing under the tree and an apple fell. Why did the apple go down? Why didn't it go up? Oh, the same way you can't change gravity. Gravity always pulls something down. So too you can't change Aaron. Or, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu could have said, look, there are different people in this world. They're conservative and liberals. The same way, one is right and one is wrong. And there's no arguing about it. There are eternal truths and there's eternal falsehood. So too, you have to consent to Aaron's appointment. I mean, there are a lot of things Moshe Rabbeinu could have summoned up. No, Moshe Rabbeinu uses the analogy of night and day. What have night and day got to do with anything? Next, a very interesting Gemara in Bava Basra. I hope on our next trip to Eretz Yisrael to visit this place. I think this is a really untapped tourist attraction. I don't have any good Torah Anytime clips from this place, and I think maybe we should look into it. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, the adventures of Rabba Bar Bar Chana meeting up with an Arab merchant. The Gemara says in Daf Ayin Dalet, that the Arab merchant said, I'm going to show you where on the ground Karach was swallowed. Chazoy Trey busy, he saw two cracks in the ground. Avaka, what does that say? Mafki Kutra. It was emitting smoke. Shakal Gavava da Amra. So he took a ball of wool. The Amshina b'maya. He soaked the wool in water. The Atste Beroisha Derumcha. He put the ball of wool on the top of a spear, va'ayle hasam, and he stuck it in there. V'chi'apik, and when he took it out, have a ichruch achruchi, the wool was singed. So clearly there was some kind of underground fire. Amar li, so the Arab merchant said to me, says Rabbi Achana, atzis nai shamit. Listen to what Korach is saying. V'shamit ahava amrin, and I heard that he was saying, Moshe v'sayrasai emes, Moshe and his Torah is true, v'hein ba'da'in. I heard Korach saying, Moshe is true, the Torah is true, and we're a bunch of con artists. We're a bunch of fabricators. And then he told me, Amar li kol tlosin yoimi mahadirlu l'gehenim lahacha. Every 30 days, Gehenim kicks up the swallowed people of Korach to this location, like meat is kicked up in a stew, in a pot. And every 30 days, v'amri hachi, Moshe v'sayrasai emes v'hein ba'da'in. Every 30 days, Korach and his cohorts resurface, and they sing, Moshe emes, v'sayrasai emes. The question is, what does it mean every 30 days? What you know, is it the 7th of the month, the 15th of the month? Is it, you know, when you pay rent? Every month, on rent day, they resurface, says the Rashbam, kol Rosh Chodesh. Every Rosh Chodesh, Korach resurfaces. And by the way, you could go to Google Earth and go to the place where Korach was swallowed, and you'll hear them saying, Moshe Emes, v'sayrasai Emes. And the question is, why do they dafka say this on Rosh Chodesh? What is it about Rosh Chodesh that this is the hashkacha that Korach and his men resurface specifically on Rosh Chodesh? I wanted to go there today, but the Israeli government did not let me in. Maybe next Rosh Chodesh I'll be able to go. But if we can't go there, at least let's learn about it. What is the inyan that the men of Korach dafka resurface on Rosh Chodesh? Okay. So today's shiur comes from primarily two svarim that both offer the same idea and the same teaching. These svarim are named Be'er Yosef or Yosef Tzvi Salant, one of the great svarim of Drush, as well as the Sefer Sam Derech of Rav Simcha Zisal Broida, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron. Rav Simcha Zisal was born in 1911. He was born in the Chatzar Strauss, where Rav Naftali Amsterdam lived, where Rav Itzla Petterberg lived, and he became the great Rosh Shiva in Hebron. And they both offer the following idea, but the first thing we have to understand is, let's try a little bit to get into Korach's head. What exactly was Korach thinking? After all, Chazal say that Korach was a pikeach. He was a smart man. He was no fool. And the question is, how did he have the audacity, or how could he be so foolish as to argue on the appointment of Aaron? We all know that when Aaron was appointed as a Kohen Gadol, Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Tzav, number 5, in number 6, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe, take Aaron, v'yes habagodim, v'yeshem en hamishcha, v'yes par hachatos, v'eis kol ha'eda hakel, gather all 600,000 Jews, all 3 million Jews, to the Pesach HaYomayed. Says Rashi, how did everyone fit? Ze echad min amakoymais, shehechzik muadas hamaruba. This is one of the instances where a small area contained a lot of people. For what? To be there, the miracle would authenticate the appointment of Aaron. And you know who was there that day? Harav HaGoyin HaTzadik Korach. And he was there when everyone stuffed in like sardines. You know, take all the Jews in the Sea of Hashas times at least 6, if not 30, and that amount of Jews fit into an area a tenth the size of MetLife Stadium. And Korach was there, and he must have been baffled. I mean, how is this happening? Why is this happening? It was clearly miraculous. And Moshe then announced as follows. You see, I'm not doing this on my own. There's no nepotism going on. God wanted me to do this. And Korach was there. So what exactly was Korach thinking? And then Chazal say further, for the first 7 days of the inauguration of the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu was bringing sacrifices. He was doing the Avodah, and the Jews looked heavenward. And they were looking to see, is the Shekhinah going to descend? And the Shekhinah does not descend. Not until the 8th day, Moshe called Aaron, and Moshe called the Zekanim, and Aaron entered, and Aaron did the Avodah in his Kahuna. And you know what happened? V'yera aleichem kavod Hashem. V'yedzeh hadov ashotziv Hashem v'nasu. V'yera aleichem kavod Hashem. Everyone saw Moshe couldn't bring down the Shekhinah. When Aaron entered wearing the big day kahuna, the Shekhinah descended. And you know who was there that day? Korach was there. And Korach saw that a man of flesh and blood went into the Mishkan and brought down the Shekhinah. So what's wrong with this guy? How does he have the audacity? What does he say? Oh, I should get the job. I mean, he sees God is changing nature. God is completely altering the regular course of the natural processes to authenticate the appointment of Aaron. So what is Korach thinking? We all know that we don't believe in the Torah because Moshe Rabbeinu performed miracles. The fact that somebody could perform a miracle is irrelevant to a Jew. So I follow this Rebbe. Why? Because I heard he did a Moifes. But that's loy male v'loy moired. It's irrelevant. Who cares if somebody did a moifes? Since when do we believe in people because they do miracles? If you're going to start believing in people because of miracles, down south, there are a lot of people that believe in all kinds of religions because of supposed miracles. We are not so gullible. A Jew is not so gullible and so foolish and empty-hearted and empty-minded to believe in anybody or anything because of an ois or a moifes. The reason we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because we stood at Har Sinai and we were elevated to the level of Nevuah and we saw with our own eyes God call Moshe. He said, Moshe, I want to tell you something. And we saw b'Nevuah God speak to Moshe Rabbeinu and teach Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah. Question, was Korach there that day that Hashem told Moshe, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, lo yiyeh lecha, when Hashem addressed Moshe, peh el peh, yes, Korach was there, and I'm sure Korach was astounded and astonished and amazed and forever changed and forever believing in the prophecy of Moshe. So what's the man thinking? If Moshe says, God told me to appoint Aaron, and he sees that El of Klal Yisrael fit in the Pesach Oel Moed upon the appointment of Aaron, and he sees that the Shekhinah comes down when Aaron does the Avodah, so what is wrong with Korach? How could he... How does he have the audacity and the... Is he not frightened? Is he not scared? Does he not believe in Aaron? Does he not believe in Moshe? What was Korach thinking? That, furthermore, there's a Gemara in Nedarim. Oh, this did not come out so clear. Let me just see something. There's a Gemara in Nedarim. Oh, and it's also in Sanhedrin. It says on the Pasuk, Shemesh Yareach Amad Zavula. The Gemara says as follows. What does this mean? The sun and the moon went to Zavul. What are they doing in Zavul? They belong in the Rakia. They went up from Rakia to Zavul. They said, Ribbono Shel Olam, if you don't knock off this Korach guy, we will stop functioning. We will not serve. We will not shine forth to the world. We will not illuminate the world. We will not give the world energy. We won't give the world vitality. We all know if the sun would stop for a moment, the world would cease to exist. Everything would freeze suddenly. There would be no energy, no processes in the world. The sun said, God, if you don't take care of this Korach, we quit. Ask the Bar Yosef, wait a second. Was this the only time in history that the Jewish people challenged Moshe Rabbeinu? What about the Chid HaMeraglim? Why didn't the sun and the moon say, well, if you don't, if the Jewish people accept this bad report, we're going to stop shining? Don't Chazal say on the Pasuk, V'hibitu acharei Moshe, that, you know, every time Moshe Rabbeinu came early to shul, the people started murmuring, why did Moshe come early to shul? Did he get into a fight with his wife, so he had to leave his house? Whenever Moshe Rabbeinu came late to shul, they all said, oh, what was Moshe Rabbeinu doing? The Gemara says they were choshed Moshe Rabbeinu be'esh esish. Every bad Lashon Hara you could possibly imagine, they said about Moshe. Did the sun and the moon ever say, how could they say such a thing about the greatest tzaddik and honor of whoever lived? No, the sun and the moon understand. They have a job. And whether society is just and ethical, it's not really their geschäft. They have to do what they have to do. And they never threatened to quit. Why, by the episode of Korach, did the sun and the moon say, God, if you don't wipe the floor with Korach, we quit? Why did the sun and the moon get involved? Question number 8. And I admit, this question, I don't know if we're going to have the best answer in the world, but... The other nine, we're gonna knock it out of the park with the other nine. But question number 8. You know, Moshe says like this. If I'm right, if I'm wrong, then Korach and Zinu will die a normal death. And if I'm right, then the earth will swallow them up. And just as Moshe finished speaking, all of a sudden the earth opens up his mouth, bam, and Korach is swallowed in the ground. And what do the people do? Oh, we would expect, well, you know, they would scream out, Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim. Nah, Vayiloinu, they complained. Why'd you do this, Moshe? Why'd you kill Korach? Why'd you kill the 250 men? The Jews were not humbled. They were not subdued. They did not become bigger maminim. They became bigger complainers. And then they died. More Jews died. There's a magefa. And what did the Yidden say? Oh, Shema Yisrael, no. They said, Atem Amitem Am Hashem Moshe, you're a murderer. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Ah, you ready for this, Klal Yisrael? If I'm right, then Aaron's staff is going to grow blossoms. And sure enough, it grew blossoms and almonds and flowers. I mean, you know, between me and you, if you went to a magic show, which I'm not saying you should go, it's actually a shaila, whether Jewish, you're allowed to participate in a Jewish magician. According to most poskim, a Jewish magician is over a lav d'oraisa. I'm talking about sleight of hand, not kishuf. Kishuf is actually only drabanan. Sleight of hand, according to most poskim, is d'oraisa. There are kulas, but something you should be aware of. I have a question for you. If you went to a magic show and the magician said, you want to see something really cool? In the Far East, there's going to be an earthquake and it's going to swallow up 250 people, and then, sure enough, a minute later it happens. Wow, amazing. And then there's going to be a plague, and a minute later it happens. And then he says, oh, you see this magic wand? Poof! And he makes a flower come out, and you say, come on, that's the oldest trick in the book. Not very compelling. Could someone tell me, the fact that the earth swallowed up Korach, no, the Jews are not impressed. The fact that there was a magefa, nobody bats an eyelash. And then the little stick flourishes with flowers, and now all of a sudden Moshe Rabbeinu is MS. Ke'ilu, this is a compelling trick. What exactly was so compelling about the staff? Question number 9 is, why was Korach swallowed by the ground? What exactly is the Midah Keneged Midah that Korach should be swallowed up by the earth? There are many ways to go. The Gemara Bracha says, La'maves toitza'ois, there are more than 900 deaths that are created in the world. Why of all of them was Korach swallowed by the ground? And to answer all these questions, I want to ask a 10th question. In Parshas Korach, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Chavches, Vayoymer Moshe, Moshe said, "Bezois teidun." With this, you should know, "Ki Hashem shalachani," that God sent me. La says, "Kol hamasim ha'ila," to perform all of these acts. "Ki loy mi libi," it was not from my heart. This is a redundant pasuk. This will prove that God sent me. It wasn't from my heart. What is Moshe adding by saying it wasn't from my heart? He just said, this proves God sent me. What is he referencing by saying this wasn't in my heart? So I want to begin, and this idea comes from the Sefer Be'er Yosef, as well as the Sefer Sam Derech of Reb Simcha Zisel Broida. The Gemara in Shabbos says on Daf Pei Zayin that there are three things Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own, and God said, you know what, Moshe, good gezak, you got it right. Number one, God wanted to give the Torah on the 50th day of the Omer. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, we need one more day. The third thing Moshe did is Moshe broke the luchos. God didn't tell him to break the luchos. Moshe broke the luchos, and God said, ayasher koyach. And the second thing he did was he separated from his wife. God never told Moshe to separate from Tzipora. Moshe made a game time decision that even though no one in the history of the Jewish people was ever allowed to do this, Moshe did it on his own. He separated from his wife. And Tosfos asks, where did God consent to what Moshe did? So the Tosfos says, at Har Sinai, Hashem told the rest of the Jewish people, you go back to your wives, but Moshe, you stay with me. So Tosfos asks, maybe God told him first to separate from his wife. How do you know Moshe Rabbeinu separated on his own and then God consented? Maybe God told him to do it. Who says he ever would have dreamed this up on his own? Tosfos says it has to be Moshe did it on his own. You know why? Because we know at the end of Baha'u'llah Yitzchak, Miriam and Aaron spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the Lashon Hara? They said, who does Moshe think he is? How does he have a right to separate from his spouse? Now, if Hashem told Moshe to do it, how could they have challenged Moshe Rabbeinu? This is not Moshe's decision. Hashem told them to do it. It must be they understood that Moshe did it on his own, and therefore they were challenging Moshe. Moshe, why are you doing this? You have no right to do this. This is unheralded, unparalleled behavior. Avram didn't separate from Sarah. Yaakov didn't separate from his wives. Why are you separating from your wife? The fact that Miriam and Aaron spoke Lashon Hara must be Moshe did it on his own and God had not yet told him to do it. But now Tosfos has a question. Tosfos says, we're up the creek without a paddle because God told Moshe, you acted correctly before Miriam and Aaron spoke the Lashon Hara. Which means when Miriam and Aaron criticized Moshe, yes, Moshe made the decision on his own, but God had already told Moshe, you made the right decision. So if Hashem already told Moshe he made the right decision, what's Miriam and Aaron speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe? And for Tosfos, Avada Hashem told Moshe he made the right decision. But Miriam and Aaron's taina on Moshe was, if you would not have made that decision, God would never have consented with it. They were telling Moshe, Moshe, God said yes because you did it, but you shouldn't have done it. But if God gave an endorsement, doesn't mean it's the right thing. No, God saw you wanted to go on this path. B'derech sha'adam roitza leilech moilichin oisai, says Tosfos. That Avad Hashem gave an endorsement, but that endorsement was only because Moshe chose that pathway, and God endorses and gives siyata d'shmaya in any path a person chooses. By the way, how often do we say, oh, look, they must be right. Look how much siyata d'shmaya they have. Look how successful they're being. Success is no evidence that someone's doing the right thing. Success just means the person really wants to do it, but it doesn't mean they're right. Oh, this organization has so much money, they must be doing the right thing. No, they must really want to do what they're doing, that's all. Hatzlacha and success and siyata d'shmaya does not indicate correctness. So what do we learn from this Tosfos? From this Tosfos we learn, by the way, Tosfos in Yevamos says the same thing with one little addition. And that is b'derech sha'adam roitza leilech moilichin oisai b'ba l'taher. When someone thinks they're doing the right thing, God leads them on that path, even if it's not the right thing. Says Reb Simcha Zisel Broida, says the Samderech, says the Be'er Yosef, something which is out of this world. From here we learn that a tzaddik can abuse his tzaddik powers. From here we learn a Talmud Chacham could abuse the koyach God invested in him. We know there's a concept, tzaddik goyze Hashem mekayim, but not every gzeira that a tzaddik makes that Hashem is mekayim is right. It could be wrong. They once asked the Chavetz Chaim, you're a tzaddik, be goyzer, and Hashem will be mekayim. And the Chavetz Chaim said, I prefer Hashem goyzer va'ani mekayim. That's a much higher level. Because a tzaddik could actually twist the arm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And God goes along with it. That was the taina of Korach. The taina of Korach is, Korach says, Moshe, I know Hashem endorses Aaron's appointment. You know why Hashem endorses Aaron's appointment? Because you davened a very long Shemoneh Esrei and you begged Hashem to appoint your brother. And God says, what could I say to a tzaddik? I can't turn him down. The same way Korach says your own sister held. You did the wrong thing by separating from Tzipora. And Hashem went along with it even though it was the wrong thing. I maintain that Avada, I was there when all of Klal Yisrael fit in the Pesach Oyel Moed. I was there when God endorsed Aaron. God only endorsed Aaron because you wanted it, because of your nepotism, because maybe you asked Hashem for it, you prayed, and Hashem didn't want to turn you down. But Korach said, if you would have been an Ish Emes, if you would have been an honest person, you wouldn't have davened for Aaron, you would have davened for me, because you know I'm more qualified than Aaron. I know you're a real Navi, says Korach to Moshe. I was there on Har Sinai when God spoke to you. I'm asking that you're the greatest Jew. My taina is you're abusing your leadership power. And Korach then came up with the most sinister and clever plot of all. You know what Korach said? And Moshe, you don't think tzaddikim have such power? 1 second, please. You don't think tzaddikim have such power? You don't think tzaddikim have such capability? I'm going to bring you members of the Sanhedrin that you know and I know that whatever they paskin down here in this world will be endorsed upstairs in Shamayim. And that is, there is an area of halacha where even if the Beis Din accidentally makes a mistake, even if the Beis Din intentionally makes a mistake, Hashem says, I don't care when Rosh Chodesh is. I don't care when Yom Tov really is. All I care about is when the Beis Din says it's Yom Tov. We all know the stories in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah with Ram Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, where they argued about when Rosh Chodesh should be, and Ram Gamliel ordered Rabbi Yeshua to appear in front of him on the day that Rabbi Yeshua held was Yom Kippur. It's the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Chav Dalet Amad Beis to Chav Hei Amad Aleph. I'm sorry, the sheets are not that clear today. And until finally, Rabbi Yeshua came to Rabbi Akiva and he says, Rabbi Akiva, can I desecrate Yom Kippur? And Rabbi Akiva said, you have to desecrate Yom Kippur. It says by being ma'aber the chadashim, atem, 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 atem afilu shoygegin, atem afilu mutayim, afilu atem afilu mezidim. Even if Beis Din made a mistake and they erred, even if they intentionally made a mistake, if Beis Din were to say Rosh Chodesh is the next day incorrectly, we would have to follow. What do we learn from there? That tzaddikim and talmidei chachamim could twist the hands of heaven. That because they issue a certain ruling, God has to abide by it. So Kairach is standing there, and he's bolstered by 250 men who specialized in the area of twisting the hands of heaven. And Kairach accuses Moshe, Moshelah, you're a great man, you're greater than I. But you know why Aaron was appointed, and you know why all of Klal Yisrael fit in the Pesach Ohel Moed, and you know why the Shechina came down to endorse Aaron? Because you wanted it. And whatever you want, God goes along with it, even when it's wrong, just like these 250 men behind me. And therefore, says the Bar Yosef, the sun and the moon were so angry, they were so perturbed, they were so hurt, they said, Kairach is abusing us. The sun and the moon felt abused by Kairach. By the Meraglim, the sun and the moon were not happy, but they were not being used in an effort to bolster the claims of the Meraglim. Jews had sinned in the past, but the sun and the moon never felt so insulted. But here Kairach is sort of abusing the orbs of the sun and the moon, and therefore the sun and the moon said, if you don't take care of Kairach and wipe the floor with him, we ain't shining. Comes Moshe Rabbeinu and he tells Kairach, you're making a big mistake, Kairach. Yes, Kairach, there are things in this world. If Beis Din says Yom Kippur is yesterday, it's yesterday. If they say it's tomorrow, it's tomorrow. If they say Rosh Chodesh is 30 days, it's 30. 29 days, it's 29. But there's one thing that Beis Din has no authority over. Day and night. If Beis Din comes and says, it's night now, say the Haggadah, eat the matzah. You say, what are you talking about? The sun is shining. You don't listen to Beis Din. If Beis Din says, it's day now, put on tefillin, and it's night, you don't listen to Beis Din. Day and night are absolute realities that are not dependent on rulings of any court or any tzaddik or any Talmud Chacham. Says Moshe, the appointment of Aaron is not like the months and the years. It's like the day and the night. Just like Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voiker, Vayavdel, just like God separated between the day and the night. And this is an area and a realm which is not affected by the attitudes and psukim of the Beis Din. The appointment of Aaron is a reality of creation. It is not affected by my desires and my wants. I did not daven to Hashem. There's no nepotism over here. In fact, I did not even make a suggestion to Hashem, said Moshe Rabbeinu. I didn't say to Hashem, God, you know, I know you're appointing a new Kohen Gadol. It would really mean a lot to me if my brother got the job. Says Moshe, I didn't even put in a good word for him. So what was Kairach abusing in his machloikis against Moshe v'Aaron? Kairach was abusing the power of the new moon. Says the Bar Yosef, therefore every Rosh Chodesh, Hashem takes Kairach and he makes Kairach resurface and he's moideh, you know what? I abused the power of Rosh Chodesh. I was incorrect in invoking the Beis Din's control over Rosh Chodesh in my argument against the appointment of Aaron. That is the hashgacha of why Kairach is specifically summoned on every Rosh Chodesh. What an amazing pshat, says the Be'er Yosef. And that is why even now, all the way in Kew Garden Hills, we could hear Kairach saying, Moshe Emes, the Seirosa Emes, Va'anachnu Ba'adoyim. Now here's the real whopper. This is Mamish Geshmak. Because everything we just said now is merumas in the words of the Arachayim HaKadosh in number 17, Perek Tezayim, Pasuk Chav Ches, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, Bezois teidun ki Hashem shalachani la'asos kol ha'masim ha'ila. This will prove that God sent me to do all of these ma'isim. Ki loy mi libi. It did not come from my heart. What are these two expressions? This proves Hashem sent me. It wasn't from my heart. So the first accusation of Kairach is, I agree God endorsed Aaron. You know why God endorsed Aaron? Because you prayed to God that God should select Aaron. So you know what Moshe said? What? I never would do such a thing. I left it totally up to Hashem. I didn't suggest, I didn't ask, I didn't cajole, I didn't reference Aaron, I didn't put in a good word for him. But now Kairach came up with his cleverest taina of all. You ready for this? Kairach said, I know you, Moshe. I know you're a pretty big tzaddik. And I know you never asked God to appoint Aaron. But God loves you so much that He looked into your heart and He saw that you wanted Aaron. So Hashem, it's like Ritzoin Yirei of Yaseh. Okay, you didn't ask Hashem to appoint Aaron, but you wanted Aaron. You willed Aaron. So God appointed Aaron because you wanted it. And even wanting it, Kairach said, is abusing your power of a tzaddik. So you know what Moshe said? Kairach, I must tell you, not only did I not pray for it, not only did I not suggest it, ki loy mi libi, as the manig of Klal Yisrael, I did not even have, in the deepest recess of my subconscious, the desire that Aaron should get the job. So because I wanted the Ribbon Shem to appoint he who is best for the Jewish people. That was the purity of heart and mind of Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm sure his parents would have been very happy if his brother got the job. I'm sure his parents, perhaps, it would have made them happy if Moshe would have done his part. No, Moshe said, I'm not authorized to do that. I did not even allow myself to have even the desire that Aaron should get the job. And this is why Dafka Kairach resurfaces on Rosh Chodesh. What about the swallowing of Kairach? What about the Magefa? Those were not compelling to the Jewish people. What was compelling? The trick of the stick. Says the Reb Simcha Zisal, when that earth opened up its mouth to swallow Kairach, you know what Klal Yisrael said? Here we go again, Moshe. Really? Hashem, the only reason Aaron was appointed is because you davened for it and you wanted it and Hashem endorsed your desire. And now that Kairach is challenging you, God knocked him off. You know why? Because you're again abusing your power of a tzaddik, because God goes along with everything you say. This doesn't prove anything, Klal Yisrael said. The fact that people are dying, b'magefa, you davened to Hashem, you asked Him. You're again just manipulating God to go along with all your plans, as He's been doing all these years. You wanted to separate from your wife, so you had God endorse it. You wanted to appoint Aaron, so God endorsed it. God made miracles for that. So the Jewish people, they were not convinced. The fact that God is standing up for Moshe in a way only bolstered their notion that maybe God is just sticking up for Moshe and whatever He decides. But says the Sam Derech, Moshe Rabbeinu never told them what would happen with the stick. He just said it would blossom. But the fact that flowers grew and almonds grew and it flourished in a way that Moshe Rabbeinu never said or predicted or even knew about, that demonstrated that God is not just endorsing what Moshe says. God is demonstrating this is not about what Moshe wants. This is an authentication and this is a genuine demonstration that everything that Moshe does is with the purest of motives, without any personal bias or agenda, but his desire is purely that the Ribbono Shel Olam should appoint he who would best serve Klal Yisrael. So what did Korach abuse? Korach said, look, Moshe, I believe God gave you the Torah and Har Sinai. I saw it with my own eyes. But Korach challenged the transmission of the oral law. Because to a certain extent, for someone to believe in the oral law, they have to believe that the transmitters of the oral law, and that is the tzaddikim, they did so with the utmost purity of heart, without any bias, without any personal desire or personal agenda. Korach was challenging the transmission of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Gemara in Shabbos says that when God offered us the Torah, He basically said, either accept it or I'm going to drop the mountain on your head. So the famous question is, what do you mean? Why did Hashem have to do that? What about Nasa v'Nishma? We were going to accept it willingly. And the answer given is, Nasa v'Nishma was said to the written law, the Torah Shebichsav. And Hashem had to put the mountain over our head in order to get us to accept the oral law, the Torah Shebaal Peh. So we see the punishment of someone who does not accept the oral law is that they're covered by the earth. Failure to accept the oral law is punished by being buried alive. Burial alive is punishment for failure to accept the oral law. In fact, the Gemara says in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Hamid Beis, anyone who is misatzel, anyone who is lazy in eulogizing a chacham, should be buried alive. Why is that the punishment? Because if you don't appreciate the greatness of a Talmud chacham, the deserving punishment is being buried alive. In fact, the story goes that the Chassam Sofer was once visiting the mineral baths in Carlsbad, Marienbad, Pechani. And he went into the mineral bath, and somehow the door is locked behind him. And he was going to be sealed inside, and he would suffer a very terrible fate of basically being buried alive in this mineral bath. And the Chassam Sofer quickly made a cheshbon ha-nefesh, because if Chazal say that if somebody is buried alive, it's a punishment for not eulogizing a Talmud Chacham, the Chassam Sofer said, I'm not aware of any Talmud Chacham that I didn't eulogize properly, but if there was, I will eulogize him immediately upon coming out. And sure enough, the door is miraculously open. The Chassam Sofer comes out. He finds out that one of the great Gedolim, Rav David Deitch, passed away, and the Chassam Sofer eulogized him very passionately. From here we learn that failure to accept the oral law, the repercussions are Kavura Mechayim. And therefore, Korach, he believed in Torah Shebichsav. He believed in Moshe, but he did not believe in the purity of the transmission. He did not believe that Moshe Rabbeinu was giving it over with the utmost loyalty and purity to the Jewish people. And therefore his punishment, in fact, was he went Chayim Sha'ola, he was buried alive. Because if someone doesn't accept the oral law, you go back to the repercussion of Kafa Aleim Har Kegiges. So this is the argument of Korach. Korach made the analogy that the appointment of Aaron was like the declaration of Rosh Chodesh. That's why Korach selected members of Sanhedrin who knew how to proclaim when Rosh Chodesh is. And Moshe says, bad analogy. The correct analogy is Boiker, day and night. This is absolute. It cannot be changed. It cannot be manipulated. Moshe says, Kiloi mi libi. This was not my desire. And therefore, every Rosh Chodesh, Korach ba'adosai resurface in the Sinai desert, and they cry out, Moshe, the Torah sayemes, v'hein ba'adoim. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, shkoyach everyone. Thank you for listening, and have a great week. Bezus Hashem, if anybody wants to join our Torah Devorah Shir at 5 p.m., it's on the same Zoom, and hope to see everyone later. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.